How to end our longest war. We heard the White House and the Pentagon both promise today to bring U.S. troops home. Nick Schifrin has the details.
Judy, the U.S. is reducing its forces in three countries, Afghanistan, Iraq, and Somalia. There are currently more than 4,000 forces in Afghanistan and 3,000 in Iraq. By January 15th, there will be 2,500 U.S. forces in total in each country. Here's what Acting Secretary of Defense Chris Miller said today about the drawdown in Afghanistan.
This is consistent with our established plans and strategic objectives, supported by the American people, and does not equate to a change in U.S. policy or objectives.
We now turn to a man who has been at the center of President Trump's national security decisions, former National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster, a retired general who has spent multiple tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. His latest book is Battlegrounds, The Fight to Defend the Free World. General McMaster, welcome back to the NewsHour. Thank you very much. Let's start on the Afghanistan drawdown. As we just heard, Acting Defense Secretary Chris Miller says the mission is not changing. Can the U.S. continue the mission if it goes down to 2,500?
Well, Nick, I don't think so. And I think it really goes beyond just the paltry number of troops, right? These are historic low numbers of troops anyway, in both Afghanistan, Iraq, but I think it's really the overall strategy. I mean, essentially in Afghanistan, Nick, what we've done is we've partnered with the Taliban against the Afghan government. I mean, the Afghan government officials are sitting across the table from the Taliban in Doha, and what they're hearing is, hey, we defeated the world's greatest superpower. Why are we even talking to you? We're going to dictate the terms.
So I spoke with a senior Afghan official today who echoed your fear about those Doha peace talks. He told me this will, quote, further embolden the Taliban. But I also spoke to other Afghan officials who said, look, we don't know if the military's capacities will go down. And so actually, Afghan officials are holding out and say that if the capacities that the U.S. military brings to Afghanistan today are continued, which the U.S. military says they will, it's okay to draw down a few thousand. It's not a big difference.
Right. And, you know, of course, that remains to be seen. You know, I'd like to know what General Miller thinks about that and, you know, what the assessments are on the ground, right? Because, again, the number doesn't matter. I think your point is right. The Afghan officials' point is right. It's more about, you know, what is the capability that's there? And do we have enough capacity to support the Afghan government and their security forces in their fight to maintain the freedoms that they've enjoyed since 2001 and to prevent jihadist terrorist organizations from gaining the strength to commit mass murder again on the scale of 9/11.
With all due respect, the military has not been able to do that with 100,000 troops. So why does it matter if there are 4,200 or 2,500 troops in Afghanistan?
Well, Nick, you know, it's difficult to prove a negative, but I would say that our sustained commitment abroad is what has prevented jihadist terrorists from committing another attack on the scale of 9/11. And we should remember, hey, it's not a theoretical case, right? We know that it was the safe haven and support base in Afghanistan, and it is this terrorist ecosystem that exists between Afghanistan and Pakistan that poses a grave threat because it gives these groups the ability to recruit, train, plan, organize, and also to fund their mass murder attacks against all civilized people. So, I mean, the argument that I would make, Nick, is not for hundreds of thousands of troops in the region. I mean, the American people don't need to support that. What we do need to support are those who are bearing the brunt of the fight. About 30 Afghan soldiers or police give their lives every day fighting these groups, and I think they're worthy of our support. And when I say our support, it's the U.S. and a coalition of nations. Actually, U.S. forces are lower in number than the rest of the coalition that are supporting the Afghan forces these days.
On Somalia, they didn't discuss this publicly, but U.S. is drawing down in Somalia, where the U.S. trains Somali troops to fight al-Qaeda-linked Shabaab, as well as help launch drone attacks inside Somalia. Can the U.S. continue that mission if there's a drawdown inside Somalia?
Well, I would ask, you know, obviously the officials who know better. But, you know, I think what's really important is if you just look at the math of it, of the small forces that we have, highly capable forces, extremely courageous servicemen and women who operate with partners, and compare that small number to the large number of force that you can now access to fight against these terrorist organizations, you know, I think it's a win for us. I mean, it's economical for us, actually. And, you know, it's very important, I think, Nick, to recognize that, you know, these groups, many of them are more dangerous today than they were on September 10th, 2001. And the reason why we haven't seen massive attacks on our soil is because our forces have been engaged against them. And these terrorist organizations have to worry about their own security more than they can worry about what they're going to do to us next. And I think that sustaining the effort is certainly in our interest. Remember, Nick, you know, in 1998, right, Al-Qaeda had already declared war on us earlier in that decade. Then they committed the first World Trade Center bombings, the truck bombing. And then they attacked our embassies. And under the Bill Clinton administration, we fired a few cruise missiles, you know, and called it a day. Well, we know what happened on September 11, 2001. It's not a theoretical case. So I think we have to remain engaged, and as I mentioned, militarily, but also diplomatically and among partners who are working together to secure all humanity from these jihadist terrorists.
You worked for President Trump. Are you concerned about what he might try and do in the 60 days before inauguration?
Well, you know, I hope that he prioritizes a smooth transition to the Biden administration. You know, of course, Nick, any time you have a change in administration, it's a turbulent time. And I think that our adversaries, our rivals internationally, I think they look opportunistically for ways that they can advance their interests at our expense while we're distracted. Right. So I think the emphasis ought to be on a smooth transition. And I hope that, you know, that everyone rises to the occasion. You know, the presidency, any position in government, you know, they should all be bigger than any individual's ego, right? We should all want what's best for our country. And I think that I hope that that sentiment prevails here in the last 2 months of the Trump administration.
Former National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster, thank you very much.
Thank you, Nick.